Well, central to our readings today, there's a great deal of tension. Mark shows us that the condition of kinship causes a great deal of discomfort in our texts this Sunday. Starting out with Genesis, our human nature sits squarely within this condition, out of which no one escapes without help. Human problems exist which we are totally unable to solve by ourselves. From the beginning of time until the end of time, suffering is with us and dilemmas will continue. No concrete resolution will we find in our day and in on ourselves. So in order to accept this condition, it can lead us to a very exasperating life in how we conduct and direct ourselves. We can easily get off track and be usurped by the worldly powers of evil. Enter Jesus. The Orthodox officials never questioned his powers to exorcise demons. They did not need to, because exorcism in his day was a common phenomenon of the time. What they did say was that his power was in league with the king of the demons. And Jesus' influence of revealing the nature of God was becoming a substantial threat to the established governing powers. He was moving towards a head-on collision with the Orthodox leaders of his day. He was a threat to them as crowds were coming to him and being influenced by his loving messages. Jesus explodes this argument of his identity. The essence of exorcism is that the exorcist calls on some stronger power to drive out a weaker demon. And if Satan is making a war with his own demons, then he becomes finished as an effective power. To hear this teaching is really hard, and it causes me to fall back on my discussions with mentors and friends about evil. We tend to go back and forth about this over coffee and conversations endlessly. Is evil personified in a person? Is Satan a being, a real being? Any number of books and films personify Satan to great effect, inducing much fear. I cannot pinpoint an answer, but what I do know is that when I ponder this possibility, I like to use metaphor, and it's been explained to me this way. I've come to understand evil as a force of nature that actually resides in each and every one of us. Sin cuts across every single human heart. It is a parasitic force. I identify with parasites because of another day job that I have. I actually see them under the microscope. But by this, I mean that a parasite needs another source of life for its continuance. Like a virus, viruses can't live by themselves. They need to invade another cell, and they take over the operating system and the life of that cell, its DNA or RNA, to be able to reproduce. Only then can it dominate the operating system. So think about that. How does evil enter into us? When we're seduced by ideologies, we are potentially subject to this. You can name your own vice secretly or openly. It can be materialism, nationalism, sexism, homophobia, racism. We all have our own struggles that we contend and we deal with. And we become subjected to this struggle between good and evil as we understand it. So we have to take a good look at our own lives and ask, what is influencing us? Is it hatred? Is it certainty? Is it fear? But yet at the same time, sin can appear to be a beautiful and alluring thing, and we can be seduced into it unknowingly and insidiously. So what we need to do as Christians, couched in Christ, is to scrutinize ourselves continually and face our reluctance to do this, but to take personal and collective inventory. It is a Christian calling. Where does sinfulness hang and badge in your life? It is a cause, for daily examined and prayers of contrition. We have wonderful opportunities in the church through prayers of reconciliation as part of our corporate gathering together, and also as an individual should we seek to have a service of reconciliation then, as I've learned as part of a spiritual discipline that was taught. What we learn and live into by the nature of our baptism in Christ is that we are sealed as Christ's own forever. We know this. We take this vow. We take the vows for ourselves, and we take them for one another and for each other. The strength of Christ we have adopted into our lives comes from Christ in our Christianity. And our catechism, if you actually look at the Book of Common Prayer on page 858, asks us this question. What's required of us at baptism? If you look at the lesson of the day and answer it, it's required that we renounce sin in our understanding and in our examining, that we repent of our sins and that we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So what emerges from this hard lesson today? Jesus understands and he accepts that life is a struggle, continuous, between the powers of evil and the power of God. He didn't waste any time speculating about this problem because there is no answer. It's a given in our creation. He didn't stop to argue about even where evil came from, but he did deal with it most effectively. This shows us that our continual habits to blame others and scapegoat are just simply not productive. We can call ourselves short on this habit. I found it to be a very bad habit in myself. It can happen in the workplace, in our families, wherever we are. And once it was presented to me and I looked in spirit in the face, it really caught me up short, and I tried to make a good habit of avoiding that at all costs. Not 100% successful, but we tried. So much fascination and energy are wasted on this futile effort in finding causality. We just aren't going to get there. But the direction that Jesus points us to is our relationship to God as he allows it for us. So we say we have no sin, we're really not telling the truth, but we make an intention. We make the time always to turn back to Christ to seek forgiveness. And he forms and teaches us that in our discipleship. Jesus also regarded the defeat of disease as part of the conquest of sin. This is an essential part of how Jesus thought and taught. He desired and was able to save bodies as well as souls. We see it time and time again in the Gospel accounts of his miracles. The doctor and the scientist who meet the challenge of disease are also sharing in the defeat of Satan as much as the preacher of the word. The doctor and the minister are not doing different work. They're not doing exactly the same work, and they're not rivals, but allies in God's warfare against the powers of evil. This last year and a half has really challenged us to the core, and it is with such delight that we're able to be in the presence of each other, to support each other in our Christian journey. Yet it has brought out the worst and the best in systems and in people if we look around in our environments. And we have to continue to face a virus that has the physical virus and also the virus of the challenge of physical, mental, and spiritual disruption. Simultaneously, being focused on our faith, as Christians in our tradition, we are reasoning and experiencing people. God has created us as such. So in and through our lives as human beings, God is making known the law of the universe. And that law is the law of sacrificial love. We care for the rights and responsibilities attached to our humanity. And we acknowledge our responsibility under God for the care and nurture of all creation. As we are finally blessed to reconvene in our assembled communities, let us with gratitude accept and live out our Christian hope through ministry as the body of Christ, and to do it joyfully. To be of one heart and mind in Christ is not direct unity as the sameness, but unity in our diversity and our ability to love one another. I have a closing prayer, which is a prayer for the church of our Book of Prayer. Almighty and ever-living God, ruler of all things on heaven and in earth, hear our prayers for this church family. Strengthen the faithful, arouse the careless, and restore the penitent. Grant us all things necessary for our common life, and bring us all to be of one heart and mind within your holy church, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.